Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today's message out of Psalms, it will be Psalm chapter 2, and my title today is Treasures of Refuge, which is the mission of God. Now, last week, I preached Psalm chapter 1, and Holy Spirit finished the message. Hallelujah! There's a small portion of the message that I had not finished, and I want to just remind you of that. And it comes from Psalm chapter 1, 4. It says, "But not the wicked, their worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly." And the enemy wanted to stop the service before I got to that. And God says, "Not in my house." Those that are online, those who were not here, I was into the greatest point at Psalm 1, verse 4, the passage on the screen. We're about to describe what chaff is when the power went out with a bang. It was a circuit that blew, but that did not blow the circuit of heaven. So let me just give a quick understanding, and you won't be standing for long. But chaff is the outer shell or husk that must be removed to get to the valuable kernels inside of the commodity. Chaff refers to the dry, scaly husk of grain or rice or whatever commodity, and it has to be separated during threshing, and by the extension of threshing, the worthless parts drift away. It becomes for some animal feed or straw or hay or fodder, but it's useless outside of that. But chaff, if it's not threshed into the ground, cutting it, crushing it, throwing it into the air so that it separates the good from the bad, blows away the things that are of no value. We have to recognize there's a popular idiom that says separate the wheat from the chaff, and it means distinguish the valuable, useful things from the worthless things. And God has value in each one of you that have declared him as your Lord and Savior. He's got value for all his creation, but what he wants is separate the useless things in your life and begin to see how he will use whatever kernel is left. Even if it's a tiny kernel of corn, when you separate the chaff, that tiny kernel has value. So that's what God wants for you. And I pray you'll ask God for an understanding today. And here's what I want to give you a definition of, because it's going to come up in the Word as I read it. It came out of last week's message. There's two terms here that we need to recognize. One, a sinner. The other, an ungodly. A sinner is anyone who falls short of God's moral law or commits wrong, yet considers it to be right, avoiding the very truth they know. We sin when we know the word of God but choose not to live by it. That makes you a sinner. A sinner is one who knows God's moral law, God's eternal law, but chooses not to follow God. But there's a difference with the ungodly, which will come up in chapter 2. The ungodly person is someone who lives with an irreverent disregard for God, actively rejecting God's authority, and or living completely separated from God's character. There's a difference between a sinner and an ungodly. A sinner knows God, understands, even through the universe, understands that God exists, but refuses to accept God. But an ungodly says, there is no God. We will not submit to any God. And the Lord is going to teach us now in this message in chapter 2 who he is. So would you read together today with us Psalm chapter 2. And I'll ask you again, please give me a few extra minutes today as I need to finish this great message. Amen? Psalm chapter 2. Let's go together. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have a place, my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Only ask, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. You will break them with an iron rod and smash them with clay pots. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's ruling son, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For his anger flares up at an instant, but what joy for all who take refuge in him. Read that last part again. But what joy for all who take refuge in him. Father, we take refuge in you. Though the world is gone crazy, our God is still on the throne. So we rejoice today that we know you and that we will live in eternity with you. So, Father, prepare us as we prepare ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Psalm chapter 2 begins with this, God's guilty subjects. God's guilty subjects. It starts off reminding us the nations are raging. The psalmist is giving a snapshot of what was constantly happening to the different people groups and the world leaders taking a stand against God and against God's anointed servant. A very pivotal and important message. I'm always amazed at the timing of God's word because we are just moving along and you'll see how it lines up in history, even as we did Nehemiah or Proverbs, but it's always lining up. Today's message lines up again, and you'll hear it in a few moments. This very sad depiction was in David's time, but it was also throughout the Old Testament. It was in Christ's time. It was in the Dark Ages, and now it's very much in our time where the nations are raging against God. Anyone with me this morning? Online, are you hearing me this morning? The nations are raging against God. Humanity's prideful rebellion against God and his holy word and all the precepts within his word have come to a climax just as it did back then, where people rejected the word of God, they reject the authority of the servant of the Lord and all the moral teachings that lead people into right living. When moral teachings are removed, right living is removed. When right living is removed, anarchy takes over. When anarchy takes over, the world is out of control, but God has made a creative measure where he says, this is how we guide the rule of our life and our living. It falls under the law of God. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of what? The unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. The formality of our rebellion is this. When David cried out, he said, God, why? Why are the nations rebelling? Why are they rebelling against the Lord of heaven? Isn't it God who created? Isn't it God who blessed? Isn't it God who sustains? Isn't it the God who sends rain? Isn't it God who puts sunshine? Why would they rebel against you? And the answer comes back to us as this. Because the same rebellion that Lucifer, Satan, fostered in heaven against God has now consumed humanity, where people on earth think that they're either like God or they are a God. Yes? There is an intentional outright rebellion against Judaism and Christianity. Just against those two. Against the Jews and against Christians. Outright rebellion against anyone who believes in the God of heaven. And it's taken on new heights that has never been hardly been accomplished before. David saw it in his time as a crime of purpose. The wickedness of human hearts had gone to such heights. And now today, in our very day of enlightenment, of education, of such openness, we in this nation of Canada have watched Bill C-9 rise to the height of government, declaring that the Bible can be outlawed if we preach certain parts of it. Why are the nations raging against God? And now our nation has set the outrage. And whatever we do, we've seen other nations will do. This is not just a governmental move. This has been a grassroots movement for decades where the plot was embrace everyone in any mindset they establish, but reject the word of God at all cost. This has been a grassroots movement, and it has been climbing and building. Those of you that don't know Bill C-9, Canada is in full rebellion against God, and we're going to see the wrath of God against our nation. To those that are around the world, don't just mock or laugh at Canada, because whatever happens in one nation begins to move to another. For those who haven't read it, Canada's Bill C-9 is a Canadian federal law passed on June 18, 2026, entered into force and will be entered into force July 18, 2026. What is our date today? July 12th. In 6 days, this goes into law. It amends the criminal code to protect community spaces, ban public displays of hate and terrorism symbols, enhance penalties for hate-motivated crimes. That's all good. Good is always wrapped with evil tucked in. Hate crime offenses, and it tells you, and it goes on, and it tells you all that it will ban, but this is where the rubber hits the road. Canada's Bill C-9, the legal changes is this. It codifies a statutory definition of hatred based on Supreme Court jurisprudence and repeals the historical good faith religious expression defense for hate speech. Very quiet. What have they just said? It repeals the ability to preach the word of God from Genesis to Revelation as it's written if there are certain passages that they disagree with. Rebellion leads to God's power and presence being forced to move away from an individual, a community, or a nation. And rebellion, no matter what form it is rebellion. Rebellion requires one course of action in order to repeal it, and that is repentance. Regardless of the type of rebellion, repentance is required. David cried out, and he told us in Psalm 51, we ought to repent. You may wonder, why am I preaching this? You didn't write Bill C-9, but we watched it. We remain silent, many, not all of us, but many. And the more silent we remain, the more they push to change everything. This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. Because the church, they're attempting to squeeze it where we agree with whatever agenda is propagated by evil minds. But we do not get to hold the law, the moral, ethical, biblical code of the Word of God to hold it upright. I'll tell you right now, friends, I'm going to preach the Word of God. Amen. Many of you will begin to hide from church if persecution comes. But be very certain you cannot hide from God. And so this is when we begin to pray. First, begin with us. This is why I put Psalm 51. Do you know what the problem is? We have too much rebellion in the church. That's why people outside the church can rebel. You cannot have a nation in rebellion if you don't have churches in rebellion. You can't have churches in rebellion if you don't have people in rebellion. David, God's blessed, God's right-hand man, says, "Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." The world will not move away from its rebellion until the church has such a holy fear of God that when they come with their nonsense, they will sense the power of God so strongly upon his people that they will run, not even walk. They will not even stand in the presence of God. But when there's any form of rebellion, rebellion is rebellion is rebellion. When there's any form of rebellion, it invites rebellion. Can I tell you, church, we're going to have to ask the Lord judge us individually and specifically so that we become clean people with pure hearts, working within the wonderful work of God and Word of God, so that when people come around us and among us, they cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. From last week, Psalm 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or mockers. So the focus of people's rebellion is this. God promised from the fall in the Garden of Adam, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He said, "I'm going to appoint a cure for humanity's rebellion." And in fulfilling this plan, he sent his son Jesus, who was mocked and jeered and crucified, as Pastor Nate just shared in the communion time. Nevertheless, God still went to the cross on behalf of his people. But he's not surprised that this was going to happen. In fact, go through the New Testament. You'll see in Luke 12, the parable of the murdered son, where he's telling them, "They're going to murder me, but I'm going to rise again." You go through Matthew 21, it tells the parable of the evil farmers, where the farmer sent his son and they murdered, but he says, "It will be okay, because in Christ there is new life." It said, there's a statement that I read in one of the commentaries. It said that in the French Revolution, the intent was to pull down all that reminds people of God. That was what the French Revolution was. But one citizen told the revolutionaries, "If you want to pull down all that reminds people of God, then go up there and pull down the stars." Isn't that awesome? Folks, we must consciously contend for the Word of God, especially in our children. I have never stopped saying this. My heart is for the children and the young. I have so much Bible in me, I can quote from Genesis to Revelation. Some of you have been studying the Bible all your life. You can quote it. We can go from the books of the Bible, and we can go right there. But there's a generation, they love fun. They love the fluff. They get all that everywhere. They get it on TikTok. They get it on their iPad. They get it everywhere, but not in the kingdom of God. We want our children in your homes and in this church to be sitting under the Word of God, for there's hell coming after them and they must have something to sustain them. Can I tell you, they've got to have the Word inside of them, because these laws are already taught in school. Everything that is evil is in school. Therefore, parents, aunties, grandparents, get ready to build them up in the holy word of God, or else we are going to have generations of rebellious children that know not God. And there rose a generation that knew not God, not on your watch, not in this place, not in our time. They will not rise and not know who God is, for we will declare the glory of God over them. There will be a remnant in the worst of time, for we're going to believe God for it. God's grace is giving humanity around the world more time to come back to Him in the midst of evil rising. John 15, 19 says, "The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer a part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." We have to teach our children the world hates you. So we can't give you the things of the world. They're going to give that to you everywhere. But because God loves you, we're going to preserve your life with the things of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, and the presence of God. So they learn to live in truth, walk in truth, stand in truth, and devour truth, because everything around them is a lie. Oh, somebody feel it today. So Psalm chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. God's great scorn of the nation. The seat is reversed, and the Lord disdains the fools. He says, "But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, 'I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy hill.'" Can I tell you, there is great denigration from the Lord, demonstrating mockery and ridicule against those who think that God is afraid of them. It is by his mercy that he allows them to continue. It's because it is already scripted that there will be an end time. It's because it's already recorded that there will be an antichrist and the world will come to a climax. But God is not afraid and God is not dead. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 1, don't sit with the mockers or enjoy their scornfulness, because God is laughing at them, saying, "It's only a matter of time before I shall declare my glorious power." God, he eternally determined, predicted that mockers will be stopped at his time, not in their own. And so in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, we see his glorious Son proclaimed. And he says, "Every believer and every sinner must yield to the Holy Anointed One." He says, "They do not yield to my Holy Son." Can I tell you, every one of us, our hearts must be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about people. It's not about others. It's about you knowing who you are in Christ and God and holding on to your salvation. He says, the Bible says in Hebrews, "Work out your own salvation with" what? "Fear and trembling." There's a lot of people living just to see what somebody else says or do. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because mockers and jeerers and backbiters, that's the church ones, the mockers and jeerers are outside. They're going to laugh at you and say, "Oh yeah, you guys going to preach the word? We have a law now." I'm going to tell you, God's going to put some of them on beds of affliction that will cause them to know, "My God is not dead." But we're only going to prove God holy when we get ready to say, "God, you're not dead and you're not deaf. You're giving them a chance to turn around. This great nation was built under God. God, keep this land glorious and free." And he did. When that freedom is lifted, people are going to say, "How could God do this?" You get ready to declare to them, "God didn't do it. You did it. God didn't send this. You let it come." You better get ready to preach your word to a nation that has gone crazy, because now they've gone too far. Many nations have tried to shut down the word. They did it in communist countries and the church exploded. Lenin did it and he's under the ground. Everything for him is not even dust. It's rotted to nothing. But the word of the Lord still stands and shall stand forever. The sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be compromised to accommodate any personality, leader, ruler, friend, or even fellow Christian. I need you to hear. I'm not going to keep you too long today, but I want to tell you that Psalm chapter 2 is saying, don't let anybody. Psalm chapter 1 was this, don't sit and don't walk with them. Psalm chapter 2 is saying, don't let anybody, not even the highest ruler, let you mock at God. This is where the rubber is hitting the road now. Precious Lord. Do you see where the church is? God's sovereignty. The severity of the issue is this. The world is fighting and raging against God. And the church needs to extend God's gracious spirit. And let them know God is extending his gracious spirit to all. Psalm chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. The Lord shows who he is. And this is who my God is. He demonstrates his love. The love of God is this, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that what God is waiting for? I know you're wondering, so if you're new, forgive me. Come back next week. Psalm chapter 3 might be softer. But isn't this where it hits, the rubber is hitting the road? And we cannot sit in silence. Silence is a language. We have to know who we are and let the devil know who we are. For those of you who weren't here last week, just as I made the statement, I said, don't let the devil pressure you into the ground. Pressure him into the ground. Boom, everything went off. Oh, we said, this is a Holy Ghost church. This is a Holy Ghost church. Because we're going to live to let people know the grace of God. Romans 5, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Then there's the forgiveness of God. Ephesians 1, 6, 8, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured on us who belong to his dear son. For he's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of the son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with his wisdom and understanding. I'm going to tell you, when I preach the word of God, we're going to read the scripture, and where God says this is sin, it remains sin. Where God says this is wrongdoing, it remains wrongdoing. It will not be that we go, oh, we're so afraid of you that want to live in sin and tell us that this is right. The Bible says in the last days, good will be turned to evil and evil turned to good. We are there. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't live my life as a Christian all these years to end up going to hell. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but hell is not where I'm going. Maybe jail, but not hell. And here's the thing, when you're worried about it, you can get out of jail, but you can't get out of hell. Somebody can put that through. The goodness of God. Acts chapter 14. In times past, he permitted that all nations go their own way. But he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. This is so good. Let me read this again. Acts 14, 16 to 17. In the past, he permitted all nations to go their own ways, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops, gives you food and a joyful heart. What's the Bible saying? God permits the rebellion, but he doesn't tolerate it. He can be God and stop them dead in their tracks. But we are now going to prove if we know who our God is. That's why I'm looking forward to the fall, going through the realm of the miraculous, because we're going to have to walk in miracles. We're going to have to look at demons, powers, principalities, and said, be broken in Jesus' name. Collectively, because this ungodly world has responded to God's word with arrogance and ignorance. Let me go back to define again, which was a part of last week's message, but I didn't get to it. So let me define it again. An ungodly person is someone who lives within an irreverent disregard for God, actively rejecting God's authority and or completely separated from God's character. And that is why the psalmist cries out, why are the nations raging? Why are they having these futile plans? Why are they preparing for battle against the Lord? Because they're arrogant and they're ignorant and they want us to feel afraid of them. This is where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to start praying about this arrogant, ignorant world that has come upon us in this great nation that God has blessed. Most of us come from many different nations. Why? This was a land of peace and prosperity, a land of blessings, and a land where you could build up your families. And now they're saying, you brought them all here, and we're going to spoil them for the devil. And this is when I want you to go home and say, Lord, the nations are raging, but God is still sitting high on his throne. Sitting high on his throne. Nothing escapes our God. Nothing shocks our God. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 to the 8, the Lord says to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Here's this. Only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the world as your possession. The world is saying we possess you and you will do what we say. God is saying you will possess them and they will do as he says. But you need to start believing it. And when you see these ungodly things, some of you are going to be in workplaces where they're going to goad you. They're going to taunt you. Get ready. To get ready. You can't win with words. You're going to win with a prayer. Oh. I can't say this on the platform because they're you know, goes viral. So let me say it down here. Some of you, you're going to leave your desk. You're going to go into the bathroom. You're going to flush the toilet. And you're going to go, in the name of Jesus, put them down, God, put them down. And just keep flushing. You see, just keep, that's called bathroom duty. Because nobody, not even your VP, can stop you from going to the bathroom. So when they begin to goad you, you're like, I'll be right back. But we're in a meeting. I just got to go for a moment. I got to run for a moment. You go in there and you're in the rabasho torobo, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, and you begin to bind and loose. If you come out and somebody's in there and says, everything okay? Everything's just fine. Just fine. In fact, they'll go and tell some coworker they were in the bathroom going crazy. Let the fear go. And you'll go, and when you come out, see, some of you, the problem is you keep falling apart over everything. Stop falling apart. Stop it. Take your stand in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me shall be condemned. This is the heritage of God's servant. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God, He is my refuge and my portion, my help in the time of need. Go in the bathroom and begin to quote a scripture that declares we shall take control. There'll be people coming to your desk to ask you to pray for them. They'll go, I don't know what happened, but I heard that you can pray. And when they come, don't go and abase them and say to them, have you sinned against God? If you've not sinned against God, let's pray and ask God to restore you. We're going to have to get ready to pray and believe God for miracles in this day. When a nation blessed by God has now told us we can't preach certain passages because it's now a hate crime. Does God hate what He created? But He expects us to live under the morals that will cause us to be a people who love the God of creation. We're there. Canada is there. The nations will follow. But He said, ask of me. Oh, God, give me Canada. Give us Canada. Give us Canada. Give us back Canada. We've gone too far. Give us back Canada. Can I tell you, those that are streaming it or going to send it somewhere, we love everyone. We love all people. We love everyone. We all have family members or friends that are of different orientation. That is their choice. But don't tell me the Bible is wrong when God created. I can't tell you you are wrong. So don't you tell me my God's word is wrong. Communication is two ways, not one way. If I can't tell you that I see something wrong, then don't you dare tell me that everything I see in the Word of God is wrong. Oh, you better get ready. Remba soko rasheto. Yendo roba sato romo ande shotai. Gonna have to get into a prayer language and prayer focus. You cannot let anyone rule you. And I keep saying it, don't let them gold you. What do you think about this? What do you think? Because they're golding you. Then they put it on Instagram. They already have it taping. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of this going on. But as for me and my house.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.